First Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. First Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 18 and read to the end of the passage. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They thought they were too smart for him. They knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Write your name right there at the end of that verse. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Amen. We can put our names at the end of every one of those verses. We were the weak. We were the not the mighty. We were the not the wise. We were the foolish. We were the despised. But we were the chosen. Amen. Thank God for his word. Verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I don't know about how Jesus affected your life at salvation, but he became my everything that day. Yes. My everything. Now, he's my everything. I'm nothing. All of us, we're but dirt. The Bible says God pities man because he knows that we're made of dust. And nobody's any better than anybody else. But without Christ, we're doomed. Without him, we're doomed. We were born sinners. We couldn't help it. We were born sinners. Nobody ever taught you how to lie. That came natural. They had to teach you not to lie. Amen? Nobody ever had to teach you how to steal. You wanted to steal. Nobody ever teach you how to covet. You did that naturally. And then one day you saw that you were a sinner, because those are all the commandments and you broke them all. And by the way, you don't have to break but one to go to hell. So don't feel so pious today if you hadn't ever stolen anything. I'm sure you failed somewhere else. Probably didn't make it past the first one. But now in him, he is everything. He's everything. Brother Corder, that day he became my everything. Now, I've never been anything, and I'm still not anything. But if you knew where some of us come from, you'd understand what we mean when we say he's our everything. And every believer ought to say that all we ever are, or all we ever hope to be, is because of Jesus Christ, and we owe it all to him. Amen? Amen. Now, everybody's a somebody in him, but outside of him, everybody's a nobody, because without him, we're nothing. We're nothing. We're just a pile of mud. That's all we are. Amen. And Jesus said in John 15:6, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do that. You say, well, I'm successful and I don't have him. Yeah, but success is how it ends.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Not where it is right now. You're not the winner on the 100th lap of a 200 lap race. Amen.
Amen.
People say, well, didn't you watch that race? I said, I watched the last three or four laps. That's all that counts. Amen. So he said, without him, we can do nothing. In Galatians 2:20, he says, we live by faith in the Son of God. Now, we look to him for all these things. What things, preacher? We'll go back to that verse 30. But of him, it says, we're made wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. God has made us these things. We're not that. We don't work this stuff up. God does that. Amen. And then I want you to notice, he's the source of all our wisdom. He gives us wisdom. Now he's our source. Let's just be honest. Most of us ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain. I know that's southern, but you Yankees understand what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. Or should I say, come in out of the snow. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I saw online yesterday where it's snowing in Colorado somewhere yesterday. Snowing. First day of summer and it's snowing. You can have that place. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. He is our wisdom. He's the one that gives us spiritual enlightenment. We didn't know where we were going, much less where we came from. We just stumbled around is all we did. Amen? And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, reading lost people disagree with us so much, they're looking at it carnal, not spiritual. They're blind spiritually, and they don't have the spiritual wisdom. Verse 14, but the natural man, that's the unregenerated person, person who has not been born again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness of him, unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. He is our wisdom. He gives us light. He gives us light in spiritual things. Now, I don't argue with sinners over drinking liquor. Drinking liquor is not what's sending them to hell. Not believing on Christ is what's going to send them to hell. Drinking liquor is a byproduct of that. Amen. Same with drugs. Same with immoral, illicit living and all those things. You don't clean a fish until after you catch it. You must be born again. Then you'll get cleaned up. Then your life will change. Because see, you'll look at it differently. The Spirit of God will move in. He'll enlighten you. He'll open those spiritual eyes to where you won't disagree with it anymore. You'll say, let God be true and every man a liar. I was wrong. He's right. That's called repentance, by the way. Now, he gives us that wisdom. We don't have any wisdom. We have worldly wisdom, which usually ends in destruction. Amen? Now, in John 14:6, he says he's the way and the truth and the life. In John 10:10, he says he gives us abundant life. So now, he is my everything in life. I didn't have life before he saved me. I had death. I was walking in darkness. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, he says in Ephesians 1. Hath he quickened? That means he made alive. He can up. You say, I don't like those old English words. Well, next time you bite your fingernail down to the quick, don't say I bit down to the quick. Say I bit down to the live part. Amen. That's what that means. You, hath he quickened? He's made alive in Christ. Now, he's our life. I used to be my life. Brother Billy. But right, we used to be our life. It was all about us. And we were selfish and self-centered and sinful. Amen? But when Jesus Christ came in, He gave us some new desires. Old Bill Bully Falkenberry, you say He changed my want to. You mean Billy Bully Falkenberry, don't you? He said, I drink all the liquor I want to. I smoke all the dope I want to. I sin all I want to. He said, the problem is, He changed my want to. So I don't want to do that anymore. It's not a struggle. I've already got that victory. If a lot of Christians would just realize the victory they've already got, they can have life. But they're still struggling with things that He's already set them free from in that new life. Amen? So He's the meaning of my life. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I'm talking about He's my everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
Amen. 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 Verse 21, for He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, that's when you change something from what it was into something else.
Right.
Mankind never made anything. He takes what God made, and He just rearranges it to make a car. Did y'all know cars are made out of dirt? Y'all never thought about it, did you? No, they're made out of steel and aluminum, and they're made out of plastic mostly now. Well, every bit of that comes from the dirt. Amen? My granddaughter told me the other day, I had one of these little bottles. She said, Papa, you ought not get those. It takes 500 years for one of those to deteriorate once you bury it. I said, how you know? They ain't been making them but 50. Do you know anybody been around 500 years to see one to do that? Now that's the foolishness of man. Amen. And they make fun of our foolishness of spiritual things. Amen. And by the way, that came from the dirt. You ever picked up one of these been laying in your back window for about 3 or 4 weeks? You pick that thing up and it'll just fall apart in your hand. It's made out of dirt. Everything's made out of dirt. And from dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return to. What the world sees is wise, we see as foolish, and what we see as foolish, they see as wise. Amen. Now, listen to me. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, again, I want you to listen to what it says. For He made Him, that's Jesus, made Him into something He wasn't. He made Him to be sin for us.
Yes.
Jesus became sin that we do. Not His. So He became the epitome of sin that we might be made, change us into something else, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, did you know He gave us His righteousness? Now, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, would you agree with me? They're pure, they're holy. That's the picture of righteousness. What's right? That's what that word means. What's right with God, of course, not man. Man thinks a lot of things that are right with God are foolishness. But they are the word righteousness. Now, look, He gave that to us.
Right.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus says, but according to His mercy,
amen,
He saved us. He gave me and you who are saved His righteousness. David, when he looks at a believer, he doesn't see you. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you don't know what I did since I've been saved. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not you that saved you. It's Him that saved you. It's not you that paid sin's penalty. That was He that paid sin's penalty. He in your stead, see? He paid your debt in your stead. Now, So, to me, He's my righteousness. Now, I try to do right. And the Bible tells us to do right. And the Bible teaches us to do right. And the Bible teaches us to walk in the light as He's in the light. Amen? But it also teaches us, but if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. So when God looks for righteousness, He doesn't look at mine, your works. He looks at Jesus and what He did. Perfect, sinless, Son of God. So he is my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things become new. All those old things pass away. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now you listen to me. There's a lot of good people in here. And all week you're going to try to do right. You're going to try. You're really going to try. And sometimes you're going to get it right, but other times you're not going to get it right. I mean, we can even go the other way. He that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Y'all still with me? There's some things you ought to do. You're not going to do this week. You ought to do it. And not doing it just as bad as cussing or stealing.
Amen.
Amen. Sin is sin. And then on the other hand, there's some things you ought not do, and you do them. Amen. Yeah. Wives, obey your husband. That's a good one, ain't me?
Yeah,
I knew I'd get amen on something. I'm fishing here. I'm trying to get an amen on something. Amen. I found his hearing aid up here a while ago. I said, you took that off. He said, I said, you took that off right before preaching. He said, no, I didn't. I took that off when my wife come sit beside me on that side. There's some things we'll do, we'll not do. There's things we'll do, we don't do. But look, God's not judging me. The judge, all of my judgment was poured on him on the tree.
Amen.
And when he died, he said, it is finished. Now, I'll be judged in heaven for my works or lack of works for reward, not punishment.
Right.
Or lack of reward,
yeah.
Not punishment. Now the people that don't know God, they'll stand before the great white throne and they're already condemned. John 3:18 says that they already condemned because they believe not on the only begotten Son of God. Now they're not going to stand there to be condemned. They're already condemned. Without Christ, you're already doomed. It's done. It doesn't matter if you're drunk or drug addict. Those are terrible things or whatever else you might do. But those are not things that doom you. What dooms you is not believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, that lost person will stand before a holy God to give account of how they lived in this life that he gave them. It was a gift to them just like it was a gift to us. And he's going to judge them. And then they will be judged for punishment. Not hell, they're already going to hell. They'll be judged for degrees of punishment by what they did. For instance, if God is just and God is holy, do you think that a guy that didn't pay a speeding ticket is going to get judged the same way as a guy that robbed a bank? Not if God's holy and just, and he is. Do you think that somebody didn't pay his bills is going to be judged the same way as a child molester? No, God's holy. But you see, when he looks at them, he don't see righteousness because they don't have any. We have none. Even on our best day, we have no righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. And listen, I'm going to tell you a secret why. Pride. Because anytime we do something, we can say, look what I did. Look at here. I've been good today. And God will say, well, you just blew that one.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. All our righteousness is filthy rags. And now lost people, they have no righteousness either. But they refuse to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ in their stead.
Yeah.
So they say, God, I don't want your righteousness. I know I'm unrighteous. But I don't want your righteousness. I'll take my chances and I'll just go to hell. Oh, I never would say that. You say that every time you refuse Jesus Christ because he wants to give you the righteousness of God and put it on you. Just like, so now when he sees the believer, he sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ and our righteousness are gone. When he sees an unbeliever, even though good they might be and give money and do good works, all of their righteousness is as filthy rags. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus Christ is not just my Savior. He's my righteousness. Amen. On my worst day, God still sees Jesus Christ on me.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. On my best day, he doesn't see mine. He looks at me and he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness on me. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, I'm glad that I got his righteousness. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and I say that, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, write that down or go ahead and turn, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Verse 23, he says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word sanctify means to be set apart. He said, now, I pray that God will sanctify you wholly. That's completely, 100%. So, all right, let me show you what sanctification is. All right, this is my water. I've been drinking it. It's pretty good, and some of y'all would probably like it, but I slobber in it. You wouldn't want that. But there's my water. Now, that's been sanctified for me. It's right here. You can't have it. I've set it apart just for me. And I spit in it so you wouldn't want it. By the way, I lick sandwiches and candy and stuff so you won't want that either. And but that's mine. That's mine. I've set that apart. Nobody else can have that. You say, preacher, you're being stingy. No, I got a lot of germs too. And so I've sanctified that. Now, that's not meant for anybody else ever again. And that's what God did to you. He took you out of the world. He puts you in the body of Christ. He said, now that one's mine. Nobody else can have it. And I don't care what they do. That one's mine. That's one of my sheep. And the devil can't have them anymore. That's mine. They can't even have themselves anymore. They're mine. That's my gal. That's my guy. And nobody else can have that. I've set them apart wholly, 100% for me. Nobody else can have them. That's it. Now that's what Jesus did for me when he died on the cross. He sanctified me wholly. Now, he made me clean by the Word of God, by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Not the baptismal pool, Brother Mike, but by the Word of God. He washed me and he set me apart. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to look at it, in chapter 6, it's right there at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now wait a minute, preacher, you're a bigot. No, no, that's what God said. That's what God said. The unrighteous shall not be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 11. And such were... Such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. That changes us. When we got born again, he set us apart, holy. The devil can't have us anymore. We've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross. Bought and paid for. Now he has sanctified me, and now, listen, nobody can take me out of his hand. Right. I can't even take myself out of his hand. Thank God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I used to be saved, but I decided I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. I said, you never were. Right. Well, I wouldn't say that to people. You can't judge them. I'm just telling you about what they said. Not, I'm not judging them. They're judging themselves. And they'll say, well, I used to be a Christian, but I quit. I'm not a Christian anymore. And I said, well, you never were. Because, see, if he sanctifies you, he sets you apart. You're his. That's it. Now, you think the God of all creation, the universe, of all of glory, cannot keep the ones that he saved? Jude says, now to him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Now, the day I got saved, I had no intentions of taking it back. Right. I thought that thing through. I said, if I go down there, I'm going to lose every friend I've got. People are going to think I'm crazy. They're going to make fun of me at work. I'm going to have to change my life. Things are going to happen. But I'll tell you what. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I walked down there and I gave him my heart, my life. And now I'm his. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You say, well, have you ever failed? Well, of course I have. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But hey, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. And thank God I'm not what I'm going to be either. Amen. But listen, sometimes I am something I don't want to be too. In the flesh. But I've been sanctified. Jesus said, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. Now, if you think that you used to be saved and you're not saved anymore, either you've got bad teaching, by the way, Jimmy Swaggart teaching, but either you got bad teaching that you think you can just prize yourself out of the hand of God and the hand of the Creator of the universe, you are badly mistaken. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God chastens His children. He doesn't cast them off. The shepherd doesn't cast his sheep off. Amen. He sends that little sheep dog at me. That's the preacher. Bite at your leg and get you back over where you ought to be. You ever seen a sheep dog? That boy's got ADD and ADHD. He's running around like a crazy man, barking and biting at those little hind legs, getting them back in line. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm doing my job. Don't get on Facebook and say what a mean man I am. I'm just preaching the word. If you don't want to be in the flock, you must have never got in the first place. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying in the body of Christ. Hey, if you were born again, came from death unto life, I don't think you'd ever want to die again. Amen. A lot of people sign those do not resuscitate things. I ain't signing one of them things. Shock me in the head, the heart, whatever. Amen. I know one day I got to go. I know that. But I really ain't ready to go right now. I'm having a pretty good time. Amen. Since I've been saved. Now, I got to hurry. You got 2 minutes before the message say amen. Now, look, 1 Peter chapter 1. I pick on the message too much, don't I? All right, Presbyterian. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at it. Now, I said that my whole life is about Him now. Now, I love my wife. I do. I love my children. I love them dearly. I do. I'm the last of 9 children, and we didn't always love each other like we ought to. We didn't always get along like we ought to. And that's my nephew right there. He grew up with us, and he didn't always get along with us like we ought to either. But 1 Peter chapter 1, look at it if you will. Let's start with verse 18. In verse 18 of chapter 1, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. Corruptible means they're going to fade away. And from your vain conversation, that's the old English word, means your lifestyle. And we say that sometimes you walk louder than you talk, okay? Yes. And from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, in other words, the way you was raised. You know silver and gold didn't save you. You know the way you was raised didn't save you. But with the precious blood of Christ. You see that? As a lamb without spot, without blemish, and without spot. I love that. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Now my redemption's in Him. Yes. He bought me. He paid for me. We sing that. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it whiter than snow. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He bought me. He paid for me. He redeemed me. And only the blood of Jesus can do that. Now we got people all over this country today, and they got real religious today, and they went to church, and they said, well, I'm doing my duty. I'm going to church. I'll go to heaven. No, you'll go to hell from a church pew.
Right.
And a lot of them going to church today said, well, I'm doing my duty. I'm putting some money in the offering. Your money means nothing to God.
That's right.
God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He owns the hills. He owns the gold. He owns the silver. He owns the rubies. He owns everything. Amen. All belongs to Him. Your possessions don't impress Him a bit. And what you give away doesn't impress Him a bit. You'll die and go to hell giving everything you got away. Amen. Amen. It's the precious blood that bought us. Not our stuff. Amen. I thank God for stuff. I've got old enough now. I got some stuff I don't have to pay for. It's paid for. Some of y'all old people, you feel the same way, don't you? And so we got a few things. Maybe a house is paid off. Thank God. Maybe you look forward to that a long time. Boy, felt good that day. Paid that last payment. Ooh, man, that was good. Maybe your car's paid for. I remember my first car cost me $130. And, boy, I was happy when I got the $130 paid off. My second car cost $600. Took me 3 years to pay $600. And, but now, you get a little older, you get things paid off. But let me tell you something. What's more valuable than every bit of the stuff I own is the blood of Jesus that redeemed me from the curse of the law and the death of hell and eternal and the lake of fire. I'm redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. Now that's all Him. Every bit of that's Him. I can't do it. I couldn't die for my sin. My blood's no good, by the way. More than one way. When I turned 18, I got a job at Rock Hill Print and Finishing. I know I don't look that old, but I am. And I got a job at Rock Hill Print and Finishing when I was 18 in 1972, I think it was. And got a job there, and you had to get a health checkup. Had to get a health checkup. So I went and got me a health checkup. And then a little bit later, they were asking people to donate blood. Wanting people to donate blood. And at the bleacher, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people, you know, donating blood. That's a lot of blood. So I went and gave some blood, you know. A couple of weeks later, I got a letter in the mail from the doctor. Said, listen, you need to go see your personal physician. Your blood is tainted. That's not the word he used. That's the word I used. You have hepatitis B. You got hepatitis B. I was 18. Of course, the crowd I run with, it's a wonder I didn't have everything, you know. And now if I go somewhere and get my blood tested, they come running in and they say, did you know you got hepatitis? I said, I've had it since I was 18 years old. I'm still alive. Leave me alone. I'm doing fine. But if you were dying, I couldn't give you blood. It'd finish you off. It would. It'd finish you off if I gave you. Thank God there's a fountain flowing with pure blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not tainted, not one little bit, and it will redeem you. Now, silver and gold cannot redeem. Okay? Here, I'm going to say this. All right, hold on to that. All right, the boy bought that book from me. It's a pretty good book, too. You ought to read it. And one day I come back, I say, I want that book back. And he'll say, what you going to give me? I said, well, I gave it to you. He said, I bought it, whatever. And I say, well, I got some, I got a comb. Well, that ain't no good. Well, I got an empty billfold. That dude, no. What you going to give me, see? And I said, okay, I'm going to give you the book worth $10. I'm going to give you $6.50. Give me that book back. Amen. And so I bought the book back. Well, whenever you was born, look, your old soul was sold out. Your flesh was sold out. The old devil had done bought you. And then one day God comes back and he says, I tell you what, you sold yourself into sin, but I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to buy you back.
Amen.
I'm going to buy you back. And you're so precious, all the money in the world, all the gold, all the silver, all the emeralds, all the cars in the houses, there's not enough stuff in the world to pay for you. I almost failed. And there's not stuff in the world to pay for you. Y'all have fun watching me preach. There's not enough stuff in this world to pay for your soul. Your soul's too valuable. And God said, well, I got something more valuable than that. The blood of my blessed son. I'll let him die for you. And I'll pay for it. He's everything. He's our love. He's our life. He's our liberty. And we love others because he first loved us. Brother Fortson likes to tell stories about the war between the states. I think his middle name is Beauregard. I know it ain't Sherman. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. It's Jackson or Lee or something. But he likes to tell, and I like that history too. And but he might know this story. If I can remember the colonel's name, I've told it here before. There's a story of at the end of the Civil War, all the officers were arrested. The enlisted men got to go home. They said, go home. Just lay down your gun and go home. And then they had to make a deal, let them keep their squirrel guns. Because when they went home, the crops were destroyed. They was going to have to eat off the land. But anyway, all the officers were put in the penitentiary. The lieutenants, the captains, the colonels, the generals, all the Confederate officers were captured and they were tried for treason. Every one of them. Against the United States of America. And they were all doomed. Every one of them was found guilty and was doomed to be hanged, every one of them. And this one colonel, the president had second thoughts and he pardoned every one of them. So they would come to your cell and they'd bring a pardon. It was an official government document and they would come to your cell and they would say, good news, Colonel Beauregard. The President of the United States has pardoned you. You're free to go. But he didn't do what you just did. True story. He said, I won't receive it. And they said, what? We're going to let you go. You don't have to die. He said, I don't recognize your president. They hung him. Now, you know, we were in the same shape. We were doomed and found guilty of treason against the high God of heaven. And he pardoned us. But the reason he pardoned us is because somebody took our penalty and died in our place. And you have to be a fool to reject the pardon. You say, well, preacher, how do I do it? Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now today, if you're saved, he's your everything. If you're not, he's nothing to you. And it sounds like foolishness what I'm preaching, but this is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. And if you'll come to him, he'll reveal himself to you spiritually. And you'll be born again. And you'll have all these things that I just preached. If you reject him, you'll pay your own penalty. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this morning we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And while we're singing, I want you to come. Father, bless the invitation today.